It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
It's the most exciting sport on earth as far as I'm concerned.
Take a walk through the Nitro pits as we go one-on-one with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
This is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
Featuring the NHRA's Alan Reinhardt.
Our events are truly an experience. They're not just a spectator event. They are an experience.
So get in, sit down, and hold on. With host Joe Costello as he goes WFO.
Thanks, brother. Always love being on WFO, baby. Nobody brings it to you better than you, brother.
Now crank it up. It's time to go WFO. Here's your host, Joe Costello.
Hey, everybody. I'm Joe Costello, and we are going to connect with the NHRA Mellow Yellow Champions on WFO Radio Podcast. Click subscribe. Never miss a show. Robert Height, Erica Enders, Andrew Hines, plus the Auto Club Finals race winners and all the Lucas Oil Series champions right through the winter break. If you like racing, if you like NHRA drag racing, if you're a sports fan, you're definitely going to want to hear these people. They have conquered the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series, and we're going to hear from them throughout the winter break. Steve Torrance, the back-to-back Top Fuel World Champion, will be joining us on this show just minutes from now. Obviously, the back-to-back championship puts him in rarefied air when it comes to NHRA Top Fuel champions winning back-to-back, but there was controversy. The round one physical confrontation with Cam Foray, obviously the stress of the NHRA countdown, the run against Brittany Force, the entire countdown. We're going to speak about it with the back-to-back Mellow Yellow Top Fuel World Champion Steve Torrance just seconds from now. But first, got to tell you about the people who make WFO Radio Podcast possible. We've been going for 10 years with this podcast, certainly one of the first in NHRA drag racing, and it is thanks to these people that keep us going. You know, it is the holiday time. Maybe you pick up a holiday gift from one of these folks. They make it easy on you. Talking about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, Marvin Rodak does coffee, hot sauce, spice rub, barbecue tools, all to your door. 817-924-6821. I send all my people's Rodax holiday packs. It's a pound of coffee, a bottle of hot sauce, and a bottle of spice rub. That is awesome. They have got drag racing themes roasted fresh per your order. You should do that. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the Dragster Adventure. Courses start at $399. It's a fun thrill thing that you do. It's like bungee jumping, but way better because you're driving a dragster. And you know you've got someone in your life that would absolutely love it. The course comes near them. Travels all around the country, goes to different places. Certainly someone near you deserves the Dragster Adventure in their life. Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology from Formula One to Stock Eliminator. Total Seal fits the rings. Whatever your need, they can help you out from Supercross to go-karts to Nitro cars. Total Seal is the leader in ring seal technology, totalseal.com. Samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Start your education at full speed if you're a young person looking for a career. CNC Machining, Motorsport EFI Tuning, or Blockhead CNC Programs. They're even a military-friendly school approved to train veterans under the GI Bill. Samtech.edu. And, of course, MagicDryUS.com, the official organic absorbent of the NHRA, making it possible for us to do these interviews on WFO Radio Podcast. All right, it's time. Joining us now, he is the 2019 Mellow Yellow Top Fuel World Champion, goes back-to-back in Top Fuel, which is not easy to do, joins the greats in the NHRA. Steve Torrance is here on WFO Radio Podcast. Steve, congratulations.
Thank you very much, Joe. I sure do appreciate it. It's glad to be on with you.
I'm thrilled that you're able to do it. Honestly, I think that sports thrive when the athletes do amazing things. And winning a back-to-back championship is not easy to do. You just went through it. Is this second one? I mean, the points sure look like the second one was harder than the first one. You tell me, going through the process.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, you know, 18, we were able to go through there and sweep the countdown, which no one has ever been able to do. And it takes a lot of pressure off of you. It allows you to just race a little more free-minded and confident and comfortable. So this year and the way that the countdown went and losing first round a couple times and then coming to the final day and going head-to-head with Brittany, I mean, not nearly as relaxed and comfortable for sure.
Well, exactly. And when the drivers are not relaxed and comfortable, the fans are being entertained. And I just did like everybody's, you, Brittany, Doug, you know, who you lost to, when you lost, that kind of deal. Obviously, the points show it was razor close. But there were some big moments in this countdown. Obviously, Clay getting you first round out there in Redding to set the table. But at that same race, I had totally forgotten that Grubnick shut Brittany off on the starting line because they had had a leak. There was a lot of drama. You running up to your dad in St. Louis, right? Like, there's 20 points on the table that your dad took from you. A lot of big moments.
Yeah, a lot of big moments. I mean, that was a big round in St. Louis. You know, I really needed that round, but that just goes to show everybody. I mean, we race heads up. I mean, that's just the competitive nature that I've had with my dad my whole life. So that was a big round. And another probably even bigger round was the semis in Vegas against Doug, and he goes out there and the car shuts off after the burnout or during the burnout. So, I mean, it was one of the most twisting and turning and interesting and crazy countdowns that I can remember.
Without a doubt. And, you know, top to bottom, entertainment value. To me, though, if I'm going to put it on one run anywhere, you and Doug, final round, Charlotte, right? Like, because he had some issues. He lost one to Richie. There's 20 points. The run against you. You guys put up a 68 in the run that his parachutes popped in Vegas, which he even said, like, it would have been tough to beat that. But who knows? But you and he went head-to-head in the final round in Charlotte, and you came out on top. Looking back now, there's a championship.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, that's a big deciding factor between you know, he and I for sure, and just how it all played out. I mean, you look at those things now, and you're like, well, that was a pivotal moment. And so that, you look at that round. You look at the round, the final round in Vegas against Brittany where she just drove a stake through us and goes 65 out there in the final, and I got the first front row seat to see it happen. So it's just like you said, a lot of big rounds.
So after that, because again, the championship looked in question. Then we went into the finals with no clue who was going to be the Top Fuel world champion, and I think everybody loved it. But it was also part of the factor that made everything so intense. You guys stayed and you tested. And you drove the car, which was cool. Doesn't always happen that way because you got to work. But you guys refocused there. Tell me about preparing for the finals. Like, how, you know, after that final round loss to Brittany, knowing that Grubnick is obviously some kind of a genius over there and he's got things figured out now, what was the game plan?
Well, you know, Grubby's conditions are those conditions that we've seen in Vegas. Cool, great track conditions, good weather conditions, and he just makes a lot of power, and he's able to outrun all of us. I mean, and not by just a little bit, but by a lot. And so leaving Sunday in Vegas, you expect to go to Pomona, conditions be close to the same, and the track prep in Pomona is always stellar. So you think, okay, we've got to get our A game. We've got to test tomorrow. We got to figure out what we can do to run 65 with Grubby or even close. Because, I mean, if not, they can run away with this thing and get us. So we tested Monday and made two really good runs. Made one good run with my car, one good run with my dad's car, and had the confidence going into Pomona. And I'll just tell you, man, I hoped and prayed for hot conditions because that's more of our wheelhouse. That's a little bit out of Grubby's and closer to ours. And, you know, we show up at Pomona and it's cool on Friday and it warms up a little bit on Saturday and it's hot on Sunday. And, you know, it just, it kind of came, it played into our favor. The weather did. And then the track prep wasn't the best. I mean, there was not, I think, you know, 25% of the cars went down the track on Friday. So it just wasn't, it wasn't the typical Pomona that we're used to seeing as far as cool conditions and great, great track prep. But, you know, it still made for a great racing.
So obviously there's a lot to talk about with the finals, and I you know, the Cam thing, I think, and I told you at the award ceremony, I think the way you handled it is the best possible way to handle it. You went right at it and just put it out there. Now it's in the rearview mirror. I think it's dying down in the end. I think everybody won a little something. Cam is now a much more well-known guy. He stood up for himself against a champion. At the same time, you know, you didn't like what was going down there. But I think Bobby said it really well on the starting line, that it's just the intensity of the sport in that moment caused that. When you look back on it, you know, obviously, I would imagine you wish you didn't go over there and talk to him, but just, you know, I know we've got a lot of people that are still sorting out what they think about it, that kind of stuff. Where are you on that whole situation now, a couple weeks later?
You know, I immediately apologized the following round. I went over and apologized to Cameron, and I was out of line. I mean, I don't have an excuse for any of that. I was a little irritated and frustrated about the way that he handled himself on the starting line. He's probably very irritated and frustrated with the way I handled myself at the finish line. We had some words there back and forth, and there were some things said that were heated, and it just led to some wrong decisions, you know, especially on my part. So, you know, I tried to apologize to him. I tried to apologize to the fans, and there's some fans that have reached out and actually, you know, respected me for doing that. There's others that have crucified me still and think that, you know, I need to be hung in front of the whole town just for display. I mean, everybody's gonna have their opinion. At the end of the day, I know what I did wrong. I know the whole story. I know I was wrong. I owned it. I apologized to Cameron for it a couple different times. I apologized to my fans, and I have to move forward and move on. I'm so thankful for the people that have supported me, the people that I have disappointed and maybe pushed away as a fan. I apologize and appreciate all the support in the past, but I've done everything that I possibly know to make things right and owned it and know that I'm wrong, and just, I have to move forward from there. I can't let this define me as who I am, because that's not the guy that I am.
Well, and I appreciate that and the way you say that and what you're doing to do that. I think that the people who, you know, not everybody is a Steve Torrence fan, right? Just like not everybody's a Brittany Force fan. There are people who don't like Brittany Force. There are people who don't like Doug Coletta. There are people who don't like Steve Torrence. If you didn't like Steve Torrence already, this just reaffirmed that. And so I think that's a lot of what you're seeing. That having been said, you know, we're talking about the finals now, you know, 3 weeks later. People are still geeked up about it. People are still talking about it. And isn't this what everybody asked for, to have people who are emotional, right? Not robots out there, but real people who occasionally are imperfect. I think you are the poster child for that.
Yeah, I'm probably the poster child for that. And, you know, I do a lot of things that are fun that people do for fun: hunting, fishing, motocross, roping, riding horses, things that get your adrenaline going. Of anything that I've ever done, nothing gets my adrenaline going like driving a top fuel car 330 miles an hour. On top of that, adding the tension, the stress, the pressure of trying to win, and not only win a round or a race, but win a championship. And so when you step out of that car at the end, I mean, you are a complete and utter disarray ball of emotions. And so you're right. I mean, I'm not good at containing my emotions, whether I'm happy, sad, mad, glad, whatever it is. I'm not good at hiding them. And so at some point that's a fault. I mean, I've been upset in 17 when we lost, and tried to you know, be humble and happy and go on. But sometimes it's just, it's difficult when everything that you think about and do. I mean, the two things, the two biggest priorities in my life are my family and work, but racing is probably the third. I mean, that's the biggest thing that we do aside from work. And we have just as much drive and intensity and focus at Capco as we do on that race team. I mean, if you're there just to compete, that's different than being there with the whole objective is to win. And I mean, you know, we're not just somebody that wants to come out there and go down the racetrack. We're there to win and be the best. And I think that, you know, sometimes some people that are not competitors don't understand that. And sometimes people do, but it's just, you know, different levels of intensity and focus and drive that it takes for those guys to be out there. I mean, you just, sometimes you lose that.
Well, the nitro factor, right? Like, that's nothing that we can even understand. You know, we can understand, you know, we see guys in football games get upset, lose their cool. We see guys in hockey, like hockey, it's part of hockey, right? Fighting is part of hockey. This was not a fight. This was a shove. I get it. I have, you know, connected with Cam and his guys. And I just, I don't know, man. I feel like that we need to get to a point where this happens. It's not anything anybody wants to happen, but the freak out that you mentioned about putting you on display as opposed to putting you in the stocks, you know, we can't have that. Look what you had on the line. Don Garlitz, Joe Amato, Scott Coletta, Gary Selzy, Tony Schumacher, Larry Dixon, Antron Brown, the all back-to-back champions in the NHRA. And if you had not won the title and say Brittany had won, then she had won two out of three. And it really changes the way your team is looked at in terms of history. Is that something that was on your mind, you know, like wanting to close the deal to lock up what you guys had worked on for the past three seasons?
Well, I mean, you know, you look at all the stuff throughout the year. You take the whole year and review it. There were people that were so tired of the Capco Torrance Racing team that on social media, all they could do was complain about, I'm tired of watching the Torrances. They're cheating. They're doing this, you know. I'm not watching drag racing ever again. It's the Torrance show. And I mean, so some of that's in the back of your mind to go out and try, despite the point system, despite the loss of 600 points, all of that, you're there to try to win that championship to prove to not only yourself, but to everybody else that you deserve to be the champ again. So, I mean, it was difficult. And yeah, I mean, you just have a lot of emotion and a lot of everything tied into that. I mean, that's 18 races throw away. You race those six, and I mean, that's where you've got to really stand out and prove what you did.
A win, two runners up, a semis, two first round losses was what it took to win the championship. We often say, if you're going to tell a story, right, like the oldest stories, you got a, you know, a good guy and a bad guy, you know, the guy in a white hat and the guy in a black hat, if we're talking about the Old West. And you have been flirting with being the black hat guy a couple of times. I think anybody that knows you well knows you're a good guy, but it's real easy to understand how some people who are fans of other drivers could view you as the guy in the black hat. Are you comfortable with that, right? Like, that, I think that's necessary. Kyle Busch plays the role in NASCAR. I don't really like the way he plays the role, but he does. He's the black hat guy. You could do it differently over here. Like, are you comfortable with that? Like, being that guy that people love to hate?
No, not really. But I mean, it's just, it seems to have panned out that way. And I don't really like it. I mean, I'm not a bad guy. And the unfortunate thing is a lot of people see us on television, see us in competition, see us outside of our daily lives. And to a lot of people, we're not people. We're race car drivers that, you know, just, I don't know. I mean, it's easy to look at someone on television or look at a race car driver and develop an opinion when you don't really get to know that person and how they feel, what they think, what's going on. I'm very fortunate and blessed. My family has been very successful with our business. I see people that, you know, I saw a comment the other day. Somebody said something about, well, they're a blue collar, hardworking family. And then somebody else's response was, yeah, well, they've made a lot of money and they're funding a top fuel car on their own right now. So they're probably not much blue collar. I mean, you know, it just, you don't know anybody and it's easy to throw stones, but you know, sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes it's disheartening that you get judged and people have no clue, but I guess that's what we got to go with and that's what we got to do. And I am the black hat guy right now just because of things that have transpired at the racetrack, but that's really just not indicative of my personality and who I am. But you know, that I can't change that.
Well, exactly. And it's weird that drag racing it's a big sport, but not really, right? It's not like the NFL. It's not like Major League Baseball. We've got some, you know, a few millions of people that watch, but it's still pretty small. And, you know, some people know everyone, like we get to know you and Cam and know that you're both good guys and good people. And there are people that view you as characters on a screen, right? And they like that character. Or they don't like that character. Interesting how that all plays out. Now, next year, you'll be going for a third championship. I want to talk about that. Before we get into that, though, I was made aware of something you guys were all dealing with during the weekend. And I kind of like blocked it out because it seemed like a personal thing. And I'm talking about Brandon Seegers. But now, you know, after it was all over, I kind of went back and like followed up with what was going down. And I'm sorry, man. That is a horrible tragedy. This is the 15-year-old son of a 30-year Capco employee. So, you know, my dad had a business. Anyone that worked there for 30 years was practically family. 15-year-old kid on an ATV ends up in an accident and gets killed right in the middle of all this. That you dedicated, obviously, you know, a lot to him. But that had to be just a horrible, horrible situation for his family.
Yeah, it truly was. Brandon passed away Wednesday afternoon before Pomona, and another guy that we work with and myself went over to his house and cleaned up, put the things away so that the family didn't have to mess with the ATV and the stuff and, you know, where the accident was. And so that takes place Thursday, and then we head out to the racetrack Friday. And so some of that, I mean, definitely it weighs on your mind heavily. And Gary and his wife, Trish, they've been part of the Capco family for ever. I mean, I was a teenager and Gary's always driven a 18-wheeler truck for us and run equipment. And I remember being, you know, not even a teenager, 10, 12 years old and riding around in that truck with him. So, I mean, I've known this family my whole life and just watched both of his sons grow up, Brandon and Blake. And Blake's 19 and Brandon's 15. And when you deal with that, it's just difficult. And, you know, like I said, there's no excuse for blowing up and what I did there. But, you know, and I'm not placing any blame on anything other than myself. But you when you have a lot on your mind and emotions are running high already, it compounds and it's icing on the cake. And that wasn't a good recipe for me, but we were able to come away from that weekend with the championship. We were able to dedicate that championship to Brandon Seegers. We went to the banquet Monday night. We flew home early Tuesday and I was a pallbearer at that young man's funeral. So it was quite the weekend.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And, you know, obviously our deepest condolences, because it's like you lost a family member as well. And to have these two events connected, you know, forever, you know, it's very tough. But, you know, his family, obviously, like you guys are all going to be there for each other. And that's what's most important. I wanted to understand that a little better. Thank you for going there. I appreciate that. Now, OK, here we are. Winter break, right? Getting ready for next year. What's different? What's the same? Right now, you're in the middle of a historic run. There's a whole bunch of two in a rows, but three in a row, that's a different story now. And you're definitely, you know, a favorite, the favorite to win next year. Brittany is right there. Doug right there. Billy, what's he going to do? Some people had suggested that Hoagie wasn't at the award ceremony. Where was Hoagie? What was that deal? You know, what can you tell us about Capco 2020?
Everything will stay the same. Hogan was not at the banquet. If anybody even remotely knows Hogan, the banquet is not his deal whatsoever. And I just kind of laughed and said, okay, because he had to get back. He had to go to do a checkup for his heart, and he just wanted to go home and kind of get away. Hogan's the guy that barely makes the winner's circle photos. So dressing up in a tuxedo and going to the banquet wasn't his deal. I mean, last year he wore a camouflage hat and flip-flops with his tuxedo. So Hogan's a great friend of mine, and you know, I think I figured there would be some scuttle or speculation of something if he wasn't there, but nothing at all to come of it. I mean, he didn't want to go. But everything's good there. All the guys are the same for next year. Everybody is hungrier than ever to try to go out there and do the best we can. I mean, it's what we compete for. That's you go out there for that thrill to try to be the champ. And it was pretty cool to be able to go back to back. I mean, I honestly was, you know, more than thrilled to even win a championship. You just, everybody sets these goals and you look at what you want to do and you think, okay, well, if we can win a race, and then you win a race and you're like, well, maybe we can win another one. And then now you find yourself going for a championship, and then you go back out there and we find ourselves right in the middle of another championship battle for the opportunity to go back to back. It's just, sometimes you look at the situation and you look around and you think, is this really happening? Is this real life? So it really has been happening. It is real life, and it's all because of those guys, Richard Hogan, Bobby Lagana, every one of those guys on the team. And as I said in my speech, I mean, I'm not the guy that wins championships. I'm the guy that gets to sit in the car and not run over anything or anybody and try to do the best I can. They're the guys that really deserve all the credit. And so as far as what we got next year, I don't know how many races Billy's going to do. Probably going to be something very similar to what he did this year, maybe a couple more. We'll still be doing our same thing and see if we can keep the momentum going, because like any sport, it's going to come to an end at some point. But we've just got a really good group of guys right now, and the way that Richard has got a handle on this race car, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Were you, are you still, you know, the NHRA that you joined several years back and won an Alcohol Dragster World Championship and have been really doing a good job of investing in it and growing it, and we've seen a lot of new people come in, are, you know, when you look at the future of where it is and things that happened this weekend, you know, like it or not, my sports radio friends, like, they paid attention, right? They might not have previously, but they paid attention. The thing with Erica and Greg Anderson, you know, the Gianna Salinas craziness that went down. Just, there was so many great stories. But, you know, when you look forward and look ahead at drag racing, this is what you do for vacation. You say it all the time. Mama Kay, your mom, this is her team, right? Are you guys as, you know, focused and intense on what you're doing? Do you still have that love that you had when you first got in, now that you've got the success? Because some people like to come in and win and then check out.
No, I mean, we enjoy racing. That's what we do for fun. That's what we do as a family. But I mean, we do it to try to be the best. And I don't, in the event that I weren't racing, I don't know what I would do, because that's such a big portion of my whole family's life. And I've been racing since I was 15 years old. I started racing Super Comp. So I've been racing 21 years. That's, you know, that's 2/3 of my life. And so it's just, that's what we do. I mean, and you have that passion, you have that drive. And to answer your question, yeah, we're still as focused and determined and driven as we've ever been. I think that when it gets to the point that we're not, and it just isn't as fun, we won't do it, because, you know, this is a sport that takes passion. It takes, You can't just do it for a job. You have to do it because you love it.
Excellent point. Steve, congratulations all year long. What you guys did, your team. I've been fortunate to get to know, you guys and, like Dom Lagana and Bobby and Richard and Gary, and get to know and see how the team works, under the surface a little bit. And you put together something special. It's really cool to see anybody dominate in a sport as challenging as NHRA drag racing. And you've done a great job. You did get hit with that 25K. I think you'll handle that. No problem. And it's on to try to go for three in a row in 2020, which is crazy that it's even 2020. But thank you for coming on WFO Radio Podcast multiple times. I think all in all, you were on the show 12 times this season, and the WFO listeners really get to know Steve Torrence because you win a lot, so we understand where you're coming from. But congratulations, Steve. You've really done something special.
Thank you very much, Joe. I appreciate it.
Steve Torrence, your 2019 Mellow Yellow Top Fuel World Champion, with us here on WFO Radio. And it's obvious this is a very different championship than the first one, with elation and the perfection and all that. This was a grinded out, knocked down, drag out brawl against two of the best teams in drag racing period, Coletta Motorsports and John Force Racing. Brittany and Doug heavily involved, and just an epic battle at one of the races. I feel like it was Vegas. Bobby Lagana said to me on the starting line as I approached for an interview, what's it like to be in this moment? And he says it's like, bloody knuckle haymakers being thrown at you at all times in the six race countdown. And it is obvious that the emotions were incredibly intense and then compounded by a personal tragedy. I said it last week. I'll say it again. I know that Steve Torrence is a good guy that sometimes, and some people are not going to like at certain times. And, what went down in the first round, I think it will fade into history, and what will remain is the fact that this team and family have invested a lot of money and a lot of passion and certainly their lives into NHRA drag racing and Top Fuel. And I think that is admirable, and I'm thrilled that he came on the show. And I appreciate all you guys listening, and I would ask you to subscribe, because during the off season we're going to speak with each and every Mellow Yellow and Lucas Oil Series champion. And we're going to debrief each one of them, as we have every year of the 10 years that WFO Radio Podcast has been in existence. We've got a free mobile application that you can download for Apple or Android. Enable push notifications so you never miss a show. And big thanks to the people who make it all possible, like samtech.edu. Start your education at full speed. Blockhead CNC programs. If you want to learn how to do this the right way, become a machinist. Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School at frankhawley.com, magicdryus.com, and of course, Marvin Rodak, rodakscoffeeandgrills.com. This is where you should be getting your Christmas gifts, frankly, or planning your future one way or another. Now, I did break down the final six races, and I want to put it in here. Now that we're doing the show as independent interviews as opposed to a full 3-hour show, and it has turned out to be a good thing. People listen to what they want, but I like to throw in a little nugget here or there at the end just so that people have to listen to the whole thing. And just wanted to read to you the race by race of the countdown for the three championship contenders and what they did, so you can see how the countdown played out. For instance, Reading, Steve got busted first round by Clay Milliken. Clay beat him first round, knocked him out. Brittany went to the semifinal round, where you may recall David Grubnick shut her car off on the starting line. She did not run against Richie Crampton because there was a leak. And David just kind of said, you know what? We're not going to send it just in case Richie smoked the tires. And we are left to think what might have been had that leak not occurred or whatever. Those are the big moments. I hate to say it this way, but whoever was responsible for that by accident or however it worked out, maybe just an occurrence, they're probably thinking about that. Doug Coletta, runner-up to Richie Crampton. So there's 20 points that Doug, for those that would like to orchestrate races, Doug lost to Richie, 20 points down, really, right there, that Doug could have had by beating Richie in that final round. We don't like that. In the second race of the countdown in St. Louis, Steve runners up to his dad. So basically, the 20 points that Doug didn't get by losing to Richie, Steve doesn't get it by losing to Billy. Everyone's playing heads up right now, and we like that. We like that. Orchestrating races, that works. If everybody's doing it, you got to do it. But if nobody's doing it, you don't have to do it. They didn't do it, and Billy won, beat Steve in the final. So that's a first round and a runner-up for Steve. Brittany lost first round to Pat Dakin. Dakin just got her. Left first, ran better. Pat Dakin factoring in to the countdown, knocking out Brittany Force. And Doug loses second round to Billy. And so the second Capco car playing big roles and paying big dividends by taking out Doug Coletta. So Billy takes out Doug, then beats Steve in the final round. Right there, the presence of Billy weighing in. On to Charlotte, where Steve beats Doug in the final round. Brittany loses to Doug in the semifinal. That is the first race where all three of our championship contenders made the semifinals. And had Brittany not lost to Doug, et cetera, and so on, doesn't matter. That's where the championship, that was the big race of the championship, in my opinion. Steve beats Doug in the final round. Ultimately, those 20 points make up the difference. Dallas, Steve loses first round. Sean Reed got him. It's a big difference when you're the champ and you've got a target on your back. People will fire shots at you. And we saw that happen to Steve a couple of times. Sorry for all the metaphors, but it's just the way we speak, right? And Sean Reed and the Bob Vandegrift Racing team, they're really good. And Sean is trying to prove a point, and he got Steve. Brittany lost in the semifinals. Who'd she lose to? Billy Torrance, the Billy factor. Billy factoring in, beating Doug in St. Louis second round, beating Brittany in the semifinals in Dallas, making a big, big difference. Right there, stopping 20 points for Brittany. That could have ultimately added to the total. So you can see a couple of missed opportunities. Brittany losing to Doug. Brittany losing to Billy. Doug lost to Austin Prock first round in Dallas. And so that, in many ways, factored in the first round out for Doug in Dallas against Austin Prock. Another reason he did not win the championship. On to Vegas, where Brittany wins over Steve. Steve runners up to Britt. Epic final round, but Britt got him. And in the semifinals, Doug had the electronic gremlin that put the chutes out with the safety system. Heartbreak. I interviewed Doug on the starting line for NHRA.TV, and Doug Coletta, all I can say is that, you know, for those of you who view these people as characters on a screen, they are nice people. Like, I haven't met one person. Doug definitely did not have to hang around. I referenced Kyle Busch a little bit earlier wearing the black hat. I really don't see a circumstance where Kyle Busch would stand around and give the interview so that the fans in attendance would understand his mindset after such a unlucky moment, right? But Doug hung out, spoke to the camera, told the people his thoughts. Steve ran a 68. Doug said it at the time. It would have been hard to beat. Who knows what would have happened. But ultimately, Britt beats Steve, setting up the epic Auto Club Finals, where what ends up happening is Steve and Brittany run second round. And by beating Brittany head-to-head, Steve puts himself in position to become the champion by not oiling down in the semis, which he did not. He got beaten in the semis by Richie Crampton, had a reaction time, started with a one. I think that can only be described as a letdown race. Like, after the big emotional thing happens, then you have a letdown. That is what it is. Also, keeping in mind, you know, not crossing the center line. That is a point penalty and a point deduction, and would have been a big enough point deduction that he would have lost the championship. I really hope, and we're going to ask our fellow racers, didn't want Steve's opinion. I know what he thinks. That's got to change for 2020. The NHRA rules makers hopefully will address that. For those of us whose job it is to try to, you know, get everyone excited about big moments, can you imagine the big walk-off home run moment? Except not really, because maybe next round some sort of penalty might happen and that might get erased. It's bad practice for sports entertainment, my opinion. Bad practice for sports entertainment. This penalty for crossing the center line, points penalty, never existed in drag racing until, I guess it was last year. A lot of racers were clamoring for it because John Force was having trouble keeping his car straight. We've now since seen that John Force had to do some working with crew chiefs to adjust the car. He's been real straight, as straight as anybody. I don't think it should apply in the countdown, honestly. I would do like we did with oil down penalties. Like, you can't have fans think one thing and then another thing is true because of something they didn't understand and take away the points and next. No. Steve should have just won the title when he beat Brittany. That should have been for all the marbles. We lost a little bit on that. We lost something. We might not understand what we lost, but we lost it. The moment of the massive victory over the rival could have gone the other way. But now the championship is not decided because we have to wait for Steve to go down the track the next round and not be penalized. Too complex. Bad, bad practice. Hopefully we will change that. Meanwhile, Doug goes on to win the race. Beats Richie in the final round, final total. Steve over Doug, 3 points. So if you're Doug Coletti, you think about that final round loss to Richie. You think about the first round out to Austin Proc. And you think about the runner-up in Charlotte to Steve. And you think about losing second round to Billy Torrance. And you think about that glitch. For Doug, it's a countdown of what might have been. But, you know, Billy did beat him. Steve did beat him. Heads up. Back-to-back races, St. Louis, Charlotte. That's where it happened. The electrical gremlin happened. Brittany, strong. Still getting better. Still improving. Her intensity is amazing, and I fully expect all three of these teams to contend for the championship in 2020, along with one of the Don Schumacher Racing teams. They are not going to continue to be in the doldrums, and we've certainly seen them kind of come out of some things second half of the season. So bottom line, how can you not be excited to see Top Fuel in 2020? It is going to be mega. And that's what we're talking about in NHRA drag racing. One final point I just want to reference, the whole Cam Foray deal, right? I've been doing talk radio for 20 years now. Like, my first talk show was 1999, where I was like solo flying. And now it's 2019, about to be 2020. WFO has been going for 10 years. This podcast has been a long time. I've heard a lot of opinions. I'm not saying I've heard more opinions than anybody, but I am definitely in the top 2% of people who have heard opinions about things. And I can tell you that drag racing fans in the 2007, 2008, 2006, 2007, 2008 through 2010, 2011, 2012, that little era, people were saying over and over again, as loudly as they possibly could, that they wanted personalities like the days of old, that people were characters, that they did things that were interesting, that they weren't totally corporate, boring, thank my crew, thank my sponsors, on to the next round interviews. And last year, when you got Steve Torrence and J.R. Todd as your champions, I think it was the prophecy coming to pass. And you realize, like, wow, everything that we wanted, all those opinions that were expressed that people put out there, it's coming true. We've got people in the class who are, in many cases, self-funded, doing it for their own deal, and can just be themselves. Not everybody, but some. And Steve is one of those people. And what went down, I heard a lot of negativity, all different directions. It was a bummer of a thing, but it was not that big a deal. And that's what everybody needs to understand. And all those fans who brought up, California Penal Code 2-4-7, assault on a human being. You need to go to a hockey game. You need to go to a hockey game. You need to go to a basketball game. You need to realize that the state penal code is not really applicable completely in the arena of sports. We see it all the time. Now, every once in a while, you can step over the line. Years ago, Marty McSorley hit another player with a stick in hockey. That was over the line. There's a line, but the line is moved when you're expecting people to be in intense competition. And that's what this was. NHRA drag racing is intense competition. It's not easy to be there, period. It's not easy to show up to the track. It's hard just to get there. And then competing for a championship with legacies and history and competition all on the line. And you just got out of an 11,000 horsepower nitro car and made a bad decision. I get it. I get it. I don't get it, really. I have to imagine what it would be like to drive one of those cars, as we all do. And congratulations to Steve and Bobby and Dom and Hoagie and everybody on that Capco team. They're doing something special. This is what the sport is all about. We set up this playing field for people to go out, and the challenge goes down to everybody else. Who's going to knock this team off? Who's going to be the guy or the girl to go out and take that championship title from Steve Torrence and the Capco boys? That's what I want to know. And I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. And I think NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing 2020 will be as good or better than what we saw, certainly in all categories. We had exciting stuff. Robert Height winning in Funny Car. Jack Beckman, we interviewed this week. You're going to hear Jack give his version. Erica Enders, Andrew Hines, and they're all getting ready to go again, which is just the craziest of things. And I do think we need to have championship belts, just saying. Watch that Deontay Wilder fight on Saturday, which if you're not up on heavyweight boxing, you know it was a big thing in the United States of America for many, many years, and now it is becoming popular again. The whole champion's entrance with the belt and all, I don't know. I know some racing series that brought out the belts. I advocate for it. Maybe we need a champion belt. Hey, thanks to everybody out there, all you WFO radio listeners. There's more interviews in the archive, but I also know that this is the one you guys are probably going to listen to first. Alan Reinhart, Jack Beckman, Jed Coughlin, Gianna Salinas, a great one. You're going to love it. But it's also Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody that listens to the show on a semi-regular basis. I really appreciate you, and I'm thankful that you click on this show and hopefully use our sponsors to get your Christmas gifts. And we'll be going again, hopefully in 2020. That is at least my plan. Fine. Welcome back. I'll be there. All right, thanks, everybody. WFO, more interviews in the archive. If you have the WFO radio app, you could be checking them out right now. WFO.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO radio.
Oh, yeah.
Attention, adrenaline junkies. Frank Hawley's Dragster Adventure is calling you. Rides available for the 2020 season. Go to frankhawley.com. They're coming to a track near you. It makes a great gift, and you know the holidays are coming, whether it be licensing for Super Comp, Super Gas, all the way up to Top Alcohol. They can do it. But if you're a drag racing fan, and you've always imagined what it might be like to drive a dragster to accelerate 0 to 60 in 3 seconds and run 10s in the quarter mile, give them a call. 866-480-7223, frankhawley.com, the Dragster Adventure, and tell them you heard it on WFO. Hey, engine builders, Total Seal Piston Rings are the leader in ring seal technology, and they go out of their way to help their customers and will make custom sets for any specific piston you might have. Customer service, top notch. Made in America? Absolutely. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona, and they've got everything it takes to develop the world's best piston rings. Give them a call at 800-874-2753 or go to totalseal.com. You're working in the shop, you've got spills, you've spilled oil, it's everywhere. What are you going to do? I know what you're going to do, but that's not the best way to do it. The best way to do it is to go to MagicDryUS.com and order the official organic absorbent of the National Hot Rod Association, Magic Dry. It's lighter, it absorbs more, it's better for the environment. It's made out of coconut. It's made in America. MagicDryUS.com. They've got spill kits that include everything you need for a regular, normal household spill, all the way up to a large industrial spill. We always say, if you've got a cat, get CatSpot. If you've got a shop, if you've got a factory, if you've got a spill, call Magic Dry. That's MagicDryUS.com.
Subscribe to WFO Radio on iTunes. Never miss a show. And don't forget to write a review. WFO.
This is WFO Radio.